meeting.
House Labor and Congress, welcome to the order. It's level four on January 4th. We're in the Bill Ray Center. Today we're having public testimony and invited testimony on Hospital 4002. With us we have Representative Eaton, Representative Chenault, Representative Josephson, Representative Hito, myself, Chair Olson. We do have a quorum to conduct business. Oh, and I am sorry, I left somebody off. Representative Kathy Tilton. But in a larger quorum now. First up are two people that were invited to testify, and that would be Brandy Johnson and Mickey Told. You can come up together, you can come up one at a time. Strength in numbers. Welcome back. Please state your name and affiliation for the record.
My name is Brandy Johnson, and I'm representing myself, my husband, and my three daughters, as well as current and past Alaska State Troopers, and all law enforcement that's part of the public employees retirement system. So Scott's job was that of a sergeant with the State Troopers. He was shot to death by Nathaniel Kangas on May 1st, 2014 in Tandna, Alaska, on the line of duty. Scott had worked 23 years with the state when he was murdered, 2 years shy of retiring and qualifying for major medical coverage for our family. My first question to State Trooper representatives helping me after Scott was killed was, do I and the girls have medical benefits? I was initially told that I was set for life by one lieutenant. However, that was not the case. I later was told that my family's benefits would expire at the end of the month, May 31st, 2014. Finding this out, I was shocked, disappointed, and angry. Scott was specifically still working to obtain the health benefits for his family. I had thought the medical coverage would have been similar to what we were getting prior to Scott's murder. I felt his last 3 years of service were all for nothing, since he could have retired at his 20-year mark with the state of Alaska. Scott always took his responsibilities very seriously to protect the people of Alaska. I had believed upon his death, the state would also take the responsibility to now take care of his family. What is frustrating is that the person who murdered my husband and his father, who helped move my husband's dead body, they have health benefit or health coverage while they are incarcerated. I'm speaking today to ask for your support of House Bill 4002, legislation that will help take care of the families of those peace officers killed in the line of duty in the state of Alaska. This legislation will ensure that another wife or husband will be allowed to grieve if they ever have to experience what I have, instead of trying to ensure their family has medical coverage. And if we can get a vote on this bill, it would be greatly appreciated. And I'd like to thank you for your time and consideration today.
And thank you again for making the effort to come down and testify as well.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Nikki Toll. I am testifying in support of HB 4002 on behalf of myself, my three sons, and my late husband, and the families of the Alaska State Troopers. My late husband was Alaska State Trooper Tage Toll. He was killed in the line of duty when Hilo 1 crashed outside of Talkeetna during a successful search and rescue mission on March 30, 2013. Tage is an Alaskan hero and deserves to be honored. Tage had been an Alaska State Trooper for 10 years at the point of his death. Tage and I had chosen Alaska as our home. My boys and I continue to make that choice because it is truly a marvelous place. Tage served Alaska with loyalty, integrity, courage, compassion, leadership, and accountability. As a family, we were well aware of the dangers that faced Tage when he went on duty. I had faith and confidence in his abilities to handle himself and in the training and skills he had as a law enforcement officer. In reality, nothing prepared me for the loss of my best friend, the father of my three children, and the life I had invested 19 years. I was a proud Alaska State Trooper wife. I was a homeschool mom. Now I'm a single mom. I have a full-time job. My children are in three different schools. The life I had known died with Tage in that horrible crash. When Tage was killed, I had 1 day of insurance coverage before, under current policy, it expired at the end of the month. Tage's body had not even been positively identified yet, and my three boys and I were without insurance. It was only after piles of paperwork and corrections to an inaccurate death certificate 4 months later that I was able to have the coverage I have now through PERS, but at 100% of the cost coming out of Tage's earned retirement benefits. Today, I would like to challenge you to take a hard look at what it truly means to honor a hero. Is honor simply empty words of sympathy? Is it statues and plaques frozen in time with feeble promises to never forget? Or is it real action? Is it taking the necessary measures to ensure that the individuals and families who dedicate their lives to full-time service to the state of Alaska are genuinely cared for in tangible ways, like having the medical coverage they need? I challenge you to discern what in the line of duty truly means. As state troopers, both Scott and Tage were members of the Special Emergency Reaction Team, CERT. Their motto, I will go into harm's way. Can you look at the pictures of the charred wreckage of the Hero 1 crash site and tell me Tage didn't earn this coverage and compensation? Can you consider the over 23 and a half years of Scott's faithful service only to be gunned down in his final months before retirement and tell Brandy that he didn't earn this coverage and compensation? This isn't a game. We aren't middle schoolers asking for a new iPhone. This isn't a handout motivated by some socialist agenda. What it takes to earn this benefit, no one ever wants to experience. This has been earned by the service and sacrifice of 600 pounds of flesh, bone, and skin. Alaska State Troopers Gabe Rich, Scott Johnson, and Tage Toll went into harm's way and paid with their lives for the well-being, protection, and safety of fellow Alaskans. Of all the difficult decisions you face in this session, this one is simple. Of all the issues, concerns, and dollars that might keep you up at night, this one you can feel good about without compromise. It is time to do the right thing. It is time to put real, tangible, functional action to the word honor. Provide the necessary medical coverage for surviving families. Issue a measure of peace of mind to those men and women who continue to serve. Exhibit genuine, long-term honor that will never be forgotten. I'm asking you to serve the state of Alaska with loyalty, integrity, courage, compassion, leadership, and accountability by supporting and voting in favor of HB 4002 and honor our Alaskan heroes.
Yeah, thank you again for coming down and testifying as well. And the bill will be out of this committee by next week and on its way to finance. I had the opportunity to talk to the co-chair of finance last night and gave him a heads up that it would be coming their way. They are familiar with the bill, and I would anticipate that we will see them move faster than they would on the previous version, 66.
Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you.
Do we have anybody else in the room who would care to testify? Seeing none, we're going to go out of the building to Kim Grudge Kirk. Casilla, are you with us, Kim?
Yes. Good morning, House Labor and Commerce Committee. My name is Kim Grudge Kirk from Casilla, and I am representing myself. I'm in support of HB 4002 as it is currently written. The police and correction officers and firefighters have no choice in facing dangerous situations, and I feel that they are due some sort of compensation if they are killed in the line of fire, and the grieving family, they deserve a little bit of compensation, actually a lot of compensation, because these people have put their lives on the line. So being in these occupations not only affects the person, but also the family. So I please urge you to support Bill HB 4002. Thank you.
Thank you very much for joining us today and taking the time to participate. Carl Berger, Anchorage. I bet you're not at the LIO, are you, Carl?
Carl Berger, I'm calling from Anchorage, and I'm representing myself, although it came to mind that many years ago I did work as a correctional officer in Spring Creek for about a year at the time. I'm calling to support House Bill 4002. I think the need has been clearly expressed by the surviving members of the two families that are present today, and we certainly want to support their ongoing efforts to get this legislation passed in order to correct this obvious, to me, situation that needs correcting. And I guess I'm a little perplexed that it has taken the legislature over 130-some days to get to this point where they have been told over and over again about this need and how this bill could easily correct the problem that exists, a loophole, in my opinion. But yet, we are here this morning, and we are taking testimony from people like me as well as from the families themselves, and why this hasn't occurred already. I'm just very puzzled by the length of time and the number of times the governor has had to propose this legislation to come again before you so that you can deal with it. It seems as though some members of the legislature are blocking this bill, and I think it is shameful that those people, for whatever reason, are doing this and putting these families through this process over and over to ask for correction of an obvious situation. So I hope you will, this time, take some action and get this job done. Again, I support House Bill 4002. I know there are many other people in Alaska who feel the way I do, but have other things to do today. And I hope you will take care of this situation as you go about your work and see that it is finally, once and for all, corrected. And I say it to the Speaker of the House, who I never get to speak to, I hope you will do your job and get this bill passed and the situation corrected once and for all. Thank you for your time.
Actually, you can say hello to the Speaker. He's sitting to my left right now. He's a member of the committee. But thanks again, Mr. Berger. Megan Lester, are you with us?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for joining us today, and please state your name and affiliation for the record.
My name is Megan Lester, and I'm speaking representing myself and my four children. My husband and their father is an Alaska State Trooper. Thank you for hearing our testimony today. I'm also here in support of the two women who worked tirelessly on the previous versions of this bill, the wives of Sergeant Johnson and Trooper Holt. Law enforcement officers and firefighters are regular people doing extraordinary jobs every day they leave for work. You say you lost their regular lives, their loved ones, and hopes that they'll return, but knowing exactly you're not. They take the oath to serve and protect all of Alaska's citizens and visitors, from the supporters to the naysayers, the thankful to the hateful, the helpful to the dangerous. They do this with pride, integrity, and courage, and yet a few do not come home. What happens next is up to you. Is their sacrifice honored? Is their family supported? I've heard people say, why should these guys get the benefit? Why are they so special? And my answer to that is that these men and women are willing every day to lay down their lives for the safety, for your safety, for our freedom, just as our military does, and this sets them apart. This is why the benefit is necessary, and this is why I'm calling today to urge you to pass this very important and overdue bill. Thank you very much for your time and for having this period of testimony.
Well, thank you for taking your time to participate, and I'd like to add that we've had well over 100 people either testify or send us letters or emails, and I think only one voiced an opinion that was not in keeping with what we've been hearing today and what we've heard on other days. So it's, it does have overwhelming support. But thank you again, and Cody Lester.
Hello, committee, and thank you for your time and consideration in this matter. My name is Cody Lister. I work as Alaska Wildlife Trooper in Petersburg. Today I'm speaking as a citizen of the state of Alaska and representing my family and myself. On April 1st, 2013, I received a phone call from a local police officer. He had news that the Trooper Hilo 1 had gone down the night before and all the boarders deemed dead. This fact struck me and consumed the rest of my day. No matter who the board, I knew they'd be friends, and everything that would be forever different. In this tragic loss of, in this tragic accident, I lost two friends, Highland Bell Lady and Trooper Tage Toll. While attending funeral services for these two friends and heroes, I learned that their family would very shortly lose their health benefits. This fact astounded me. These two heroes served to safeguard our state, died in that service, and now the state was failing to take care of their chosen family. Today are considering the issue of conferring health benefits to the survivors of police officers and firefighters who have died in the line of duty. With this benefit will seldom be utilized, but the fact still remains that law enforcement officers and firefighters die in the line of duty every day. I lost other friends and mentors who have died in the line of duty in our profession. These losses will occur, and when they do, the least our government can do is take care of those left behind. Again, I thank you for your time and consideration in this matter.
Well, thank you again for testifying today. Keith Millard, are you with us?
Yes, this is Keith Millard. I recently retired and I'm testifying on behalf of myself.
Well, thank you for joining us today. Please continue.
So, as I said, my name is Keith Millard and I spent my entire adult life in public service. First of all, the COVID in the movie. During the last 20-plus years as a law enforcement officer in Alaska. I've got new commissions, new titles, and I'm here today to testify in support of this bill. As a public servant and someone who has lost friends in the line of duty days, I want to thank you for hearing the bill. When they reflect on what I might say to convince all of you of the importance of this bill, I repeat and come back to two feelings, being embarrassed and ashamed. I share with you because my career as a law enforcement officer, and I have personally known 15 officers that have lost their lives in line of duty, half of which in Alaska. And I've been with them oftentimes, and I never knew, oftentimes within a month of losing them, losing their loved ones, their families, their faces, and also losing their health benefits, which is a travesty that should have never happened. I feel embarrassed because it was now more than 2 years after this oversight has been brought to life and we have met to rectify the mistake. The great men and women serve our communities as firefighters and policemen, dedicate their lives to protecting us, sometimes even from ourselves. In the most extreme circumstances, one of those brave people who survives and performs to their duties, it is the morally correct thing to do to take care of the loved ones. And they're left behind. The sacrifice and family that they are still dealing with us and making it is immeasurable. And the very least we need to do is honor that sacrifice and their loved ones by providing the level of health benefit that would otherwise have been received if their loved ones were still alive. I recognize that these are tough financial times in Alaska, but this is a cycle that never should have existed. And that it is simply the right thing to do. I encourage you to take a Alaska's bill to send a message to the families of these heroes that they are not forgotten, but to forget with it.
Well, thank you again, Keith, and I think you have the record from calling in the furthest away today so far. Captain Andrew Merrill.
Good afternoon, I'm Andrew Merrill. I'm the UPSO program captain. getting after some troopers, and I've got to call them to answer any questions that you might have regarding the number of DPSO in the state and any questions you might have.
I think we probably have several. Rep. Sam will do. Nope. Why don't we start with the total number and how many are contract and how many are employed by FERS employers?
So as of today, we have 66 DPSO employed in the DPSO program across the state, varying numbers with each contractor. The majority of those, with the exception of six, are employed by nonprofit corporations or associations. The only DPSO that are currently employed by an entity that has current retirement in place is six DPSO in the Northwest Garden Borough.
And that's primarily ASRC, I believe, isn't it?
Sorry, I'm back to with that.
Is that primarily Arctic Slope Regional Corporation? No.
Part of that is not Arctic Slope, but the Northwest Arctic Borough is going to be employed. And they're the only borough that participates in the DPSO program. And a government entity as opposed to an individual or association or nonprofits.
Representative Lebeau.
I'm not positive who I need to ask this question to, but under the current language of this bill, would the BPSOs that are employed by the Northwest Arctic Borough be covered by this, the language of this bill?
We collectively nodded our heads on that. I don't know if you're watching us on streaming video, but it's our belief that the six that are employed by cruise employers would be.
Thank you.
Any further questions for the captain? Well, you just took the record. You called in from Florida, so that's going to be a tough one to beat. Thanks again for taking time to participate.
My pleasure. I appreciate the opportunity to encourage the community any questions about the DPSO program to support this bill and fully support the opportunity to help law enforcement families and firefighters who are in need.
Thanks again. Bob Monaghan. Been a long time. Are you with us?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
I hope you can go to the LIO first.
No, I actually, my wife's shopping with most since I'm not in
New York. For the members of the committee, we got word late last night that the LIO in Anchorage was closed down. And they posted the dial-in number on the doors. So that's why I was checking with a couple of them. Please continue, Walt.
Well, first off, my name is Doug Reckon. My name is Walt Monaghan. I am currently the commissioner of the Glasgow Department of Public Safety. So I guess you can say I'm representing the U.S., but I'm also representing myself as a citizen and an entire police officer. I have roughly about 32 and a half years with the Rangers Police Department. And I can tell you, just from looking there and looking at DPS, that when you find a trooper or a police officer in a firefighter, they are a rare commodity. There are many, many people who are applied for it, but not everyone is suited for it. But when you look for the traits, for any men and women who do this, who gravitate towards this line of working with actual firefighters, there are many things that you test for. But one of the things I don't think we do well enough is trying to figure out if they're comfortable enough to do what they have to do without any forms of hesitation in a last-minute decision about whether to go into a firefighter or go into a fire and whether they look upon their family. And it's, I know I've been not going into situations where I hope I can come out of this because I sure don't want my kids to be left in the cold or anything along those lines. Yes, there's a monetary insurance part that comes out, but the health insurance is just one of those continual kind of things that would make all of us feel a little more comfortable. All of us feel so we can be focused on the book. So, again, we had a commodity, and we wanted to move to a job, which is already a difficult job, as into this possible, that taking the road base kind of things we can take away. Let us really bite our boats. Should something happen, not them. And so obviously I'm in support of this. I think that the both firefighters and troopers and police officers, EPSOs and their armors providers, they deserve all the support that we as a state can give them. So I strongly urge you to pass this, and I open this up to any questions you may have.
Any questions for Commissioner Monaghan? Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
Andy Holloman.
Thank you to the members of the committee for providing time today to testify. My name is Andy Holloman. I'm speaking on behalf of the members of the Anchorage Education Association, which is over 3,000 educators and staff the Anchorage School District. We both support HB 4002 and understand the limits that it has in it. This is not a benefit that we think should apply to all public employees in Alaska. We ask men and women in certain positions to be ready to place themselves in dangerous situations as a normal part of their job daily. That's not a situation faced by educators or a lot of other public employees. As we ask public safety officers to take these risks at late night traffic stops on remote roads or in villages where help is hours or days away, or to work with people that have demonstrated a willingness to use violence, they need to know when they step forward to be in the line of safety force that we at the least will provide reasonable care for their families if they don't get to go home again. This is a bill that will cost relatively little, or if it does begin to cost a lot, that cost should clearly be borne by all of us and not by families, not the people that serve. It is in fact a benefit that most people in Alaska already thought existed simply because it should. Please do the right thing and report this bill out to pass. As citizens, we have a collective honor to uphold, just as we have the men and women in uniform to serve with honor as well. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks again for participating today. We are out of people queued up, so we are going to take a brief of these for about 15 minutes to see if anybody else is online. I think with the Anchorage LIO situation that we're probably not going to have too many people call in, but we're going to go at ease. Well, we're back on the record. We're back on the record, and we're still awaiting further testimony, and we will take a 10-minute at ease. Is there anybody in the room that hasn't had a chance to testify? Seeing that, is there anybody else online that we have not heard from yet? Hearing none, with that we will close out public testimony and adjourn at 10 minutes after 12.